Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, Access and Egress.
You may sit. Our first reading comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 3, beginning at verse 7. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? He said, God, I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. This is the word of our Lord.
And our gospel lesson this morning is taken from the Gospel of John, the chapter 10, beginning at the first verse. Again, let's listen to God's word to us. Jesus said, Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they didn't understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And for that we say, thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we do give you thanks for the privilege of worship this day, for this opportunity to silence our hearts, to lift our voices in prayer and praise, now to sit beneath the teaching of your word. We would pray, O Lord, that the words of my mouth, that the reflections and meditations which each of us have and will share, might bring honor and glory to you, for we pray it through Christ our Lord. Amen. Can you recall ever having the experience of knowing exactly where you were when you first heard a new word and came to understand its meaning? For some reason, I can think of numerous times where I'll learn a new word and I can locate myself exactly. And two of those words I find in our lessons for this morning. The first was as I was standing in line to enter the ancient ruins of Philippi. As in the book of Philippians, as in Greece. I'm a little rusty, I will admit, in my Greek. Had some mastery of it while I was in seminary, but that seems now a long time ago. So each time I've traveled there, I try to see if I can sound out the Greek words on directional signs before I read the English translations. So there I was, standing at a turnstile, about to enter into the ruins in Philippi, when I saw on the wall a sign that said, Ekkados. Ekkados. Exodus. And I realized it was an exit sign, that in Greek, exit signs say Exodus, kind of like in our lesson this morning, where God hears the cry of the children of Israel in bondage, and he delivers them. He offers them an exit, a way out, an exodus. The second word I recall is I was sitting in a planning meeting with an architect. We were making plans to build a new sanctuary when he began speaking about ingress and egress. And I assumed we were talking about points of entree. I didn't know why he wasn't using the word door. That would have made a lot more sense to me. But he referred to them as points of ingress and egress. And in fact, Jesus does exactly the same in our gospel lesson this morning as he speaks of himself. We're continuing our study of Jesus' I am statements, and here in chapter 10, he says, I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. That is, Jesus is our way in and our way out. He is our ingress and our egress. As Jesus was so adept at doing, he used very common everyday illustrations, items, activities to describe who he was and what he came to do. And here he describes beautifully the function of the sheepfold. In that semi-nomadic culture, shepherds would take their sheep out into what was commonly referred to as the wilderness, which in Scripture, the wilderness means any place that isn't good for growing crops. It's not good for agriculture. So a shepherd would take his or her sheep out into the wilderness to feed and to drink during the day. And since it is a harsh and semi-desert region, they would often wander far enough that they couldn't make it back home at night. And so, scattered throughout the wilderness region would be sheepfolds or open enclosures, typically made of piled-up stones and sticks on top. And there, the sheep and the shepherds could sleep at night safely. Typically, round enclosures with only one door, one point of entree. And so once all the sheep were in at night, the shepherd, or in this case, the gatekeeper is the way Jesus describes this one, would actually lie down across that threshold, across that opening, literally becoming the gate, the only point of egress and ingress. Now, as we listen to Jesus' teaching, he explains the role of the shepherd, the gatekeeper. And he makes note that anyone who attempts to enter into the sheepfold, into that enclosure, by any way other than through that one point of entree, is a thief and a bandit, up to no good. The only way into the sheepfold is through the gate. The other keen insight he gives us in this teaching is that on any given night, there might be several shepherds and so several herds of sheep, all encamped in the same enclosure, all mixed in together. So how would they keep them apart? Well, they wouldn't until the next morning. And then the shepherd would stand at the opening of the enclosure and whistle or call or sing or play an instrument such to alert his or her sheep that it was time to go. And their sheep alone would recognize that voice and so follow the shepherd and no other. So Jesus says, when the shepherd has brought out his own, he goes ahead of them and the sheep will follow him because they know his voice. It's a beautiful little teaching Jesus gives us. But when he asked his disciples if they understood what he was talking about as it relates to him and his ministry, they all went, no, we really don't. Which I happen to love about the gospel stories. I mean, the gospel writers, the disciples are very candid in their honesty of when they get it and when they don't get it, which leaves a lot of room for you and for me today. So Jesus repeats his teaching now in a more simplified way when he says, I am the gate of the sheep. Jesus is our point of ingress and egress. He is the way in and the way out. To what? Well, for those who are entering in, he offers a right relationship with God. He is the passageway. He is the point of entree into a right and saving relationship with God. He says, whoever enters by me will be saved, healed, restored, reconciled, justified with God. That is, we literally pass through Jesus as we enter into the kingdom of God, as we're welcomed into the household of God. And as we enter in, Jesus is the means by which we are restored into that right relationship with God. And then he says, for those who are going out, he offers them to find pasture. Think here of the 23rd Psalm, the great shepherd psalm, where we read, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. In our lesson from Exodus, God delivers the people of Israel out of the bondage of slavery and leads them to the promised land, a land that is described as a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Friends, Jesus comes to offer us this passageway to the fullness of life. Jesus is the way in and the way out, our point of ingress and egress to the kind of life that only God can offer to us. Any others who claim to be able to offer that good life to us are nothing more than charlatans and thieves and bandits because they make promises that they can't deliver on. Jesus alone came that we might have life and have it in its abundance. And in that, he and he alone is the gate for us, the sheep. So as I reflected this week on this familiar teaching, I found myself thinking about something that I'd never considered before. So I turned to some commentaries, and they weren't any help at all. And so now I'm simply presenting it to you and would invite your reflection here. The presence of a gate implies that there must also be a fence or a wall that needs to be breached or opened up for passageway. Now, unfortunately, that image has become politicized and polarizing, so believe me when I say I'm not going there. Recall, I chose to preach on this passage last summer, and Jesus spoke these words 2 millennia ago. But one has no need for a gate unless there is a wall, unless there is a fence. And the gate, by definition, is a break or a means of passage through it. I believe it was Robert Frost who said, and I would agree with him, something there is that doesn't love a wall. A wall, by definition, is a boundary. It's a barricade that separates one party from another party. It creates, or at least it acknowledges, that there is an inside and an outside, which means that there are insiders and there are outsiders. There is an us and a them, those who belong and those who don't belong. The presence of a wall indicates that some are being kept out and others are being welcomed in. When I was in seminary, I served one of my field education years in a maximum security prison in Philadelphia. There was an inmate there who wrote a poem, which I wish I had kept, because in it he described himself as being incarcerated on one side of a prison door, while the prison guard was similarly incarcerated on the other side of the very same door. He masterfully raised the rather provocative notion that in fact both of them were being held captive by the wall which separated them. Something there is that doesn't love a wall. So the creation of a gate, a passageway, an opening that breaks down the continuity of the wall, thus allowing for ingress and egress, coming in and going out. And as I pondered that notion, I realized that's exactly what Jesus has come to do for us. In the second chapter of his letter to the Ephesians, Paul writes, Jesus is our peace. And in his flesh, he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall. That is the hostility between us. Now, when Paul was writing, he was thinking of the dividing wall between Jew and Gentile, about the best use of the law and who would be accepted into the temple or into the people of God. In Christ, that wall is breached and all are welcomed. He is the gate by which and through which those who once were separated can now be brought back together, reconciled with one another, reconciled with God, and the two, Paul writes, become one. So I wonder with you this morning, what are the dividing walls that we have erected that need to be torn down today? The fences of separation that we've built up that need to be opened by adding a gate, a point of ingress or egress. Our walls of division today are likely not between Jew and Gentile, but they may be racial or ethnic or religious in nature. So we need to acknowledge or perhaps confess that we too have built walls of hostility which separate us one from another, walls of bias and prejudice and racism, walls of inferiority and superiority, walls created out of fear and mistrust and misunderstanding, walls that we have inherited, walls that we have built and created for ourselves, walls that we think are keeping us safe from by keeping others out when in reality they keep us imprisoned as well. Dr. King and so many others who have been and still are active in issues of civil rights and justice frequently use the language of Scripture, and appropriately so. They use the teachings of Jesus as they speak of walls of division which must be torn down in the name of peace and justice and righteousness and reconciliation. And so in what ways can we allow, or better, in what ways can we embrace or live out the teachings of Jesus? In what ways can we allow him to in fact be the gate which opens the way between us and those with whom we have separated ourselves? Or maybe your wall of division is between you and another individual, a spouse or child, a parent, a neighbor, a friend, a coworker, a colleague, a classmate. There's been some hurt, some harm, some betrayal of trust that has caused a wall of division to arise between you. In what ways can we use the teachings of Jesus about humility and forgiveness and grace and acceptance to open up the wall, to breach the wall between you and that other? We who claim to be sheep must learn the ways of the shepherd. And if we do not, it's not because he isn't the good shepherd. It's because we are being disobedient and undisciplined sheep. Or perhaps the impervious wall of separation is between you and God himself. Some past experience, some hurt, some unrepented of sin, some misused theology or false teaching, some unkind word spoken or action taken by someone who was supposedly speaking or acting on behalf of God, has somehow closed the door of your heart to God or your understanding of his great and unchanging love for you. Friends, Jesus stands ready to be the gate which swings open wide to welcome you home into the embrace of a heavenly Father who loves you dearly. And all we need do is walk through it. He's done all the rest. So, this is my prayer for you this morning. It's my prayer with you this morning, that you will allow Jesus to be who he says he is, so that as you enter in, you may be saved, that you might be restored and reconciled with this great and gracious God of ours. And as you go out, that you might go out to find pasture, the kind of life that only God can offer to us. That's his desire for you. Because Jesus is the gate. He is our means of entry and exit, our way in, our way out, our entrance and our exodus, our ingress and our egress to this abundant life, which he alone can offer us. Amen. And let us pray. For the gift that you have given to us, O Lord, we give you thanks. We thank you for the invitation that you have given to us, simply to come to you, to walk through you, to be restored once again in a relationship with the Heavenly Father, to be restored in our relationships with one another. Lord, we will humbly confess that some of the walls which separate and divide us, we have made for ourselves. And so help us, by the empowering of your Holy Spirit, simply to do our part in accepting the work that you have done for us. And that through Christ our Lord, we pray. Lord, hear our prayer.